peace and love, peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 woo!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 46 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. I'm so glad you're here. We've got a great show planned today. And as we jump in, I just have to have a quick thank you salute to the beautiful women of St. Bridget of Kildare Church in Parma, Ohio. Yes, I had such a wonderful day with the beautiful women speaking there at the church. And a few of our Good Things Radio listener friends were there as well. Vicky was there. In fact, she was the one that greeted me. She's an amazing listener. She's going to be at the retreat. But also had this bag of goodies that I have right now. This is my rose-patterned teacup and saucer. And if you listen to the podcast regularly, maybe you remember this, but it was such a random comment that I forgot I said it. And she said, I remember you talked about you like the sound of a teacup with a saucer, which is such a silly thing. But the reason the saucer is important for me is because it denotes slowing down. It just kind of, for me, makes me think of, okay, I'm not in a hurry. Because the only time I ever usually have tea with a teacup is if I'm at like a bed and breakfast or somewhere out of the ordinary, a ladies' luncheon or something. So she was such a blessed angel that when I came in, she had this bag for not only tea for me, but a set for my daughter, Carolina, my mom, our foreign exchange student, all the girls in my life in the house or nearby. So thank you so much to Vicky. It's beautiful. I've already enjoyed my Downton Abbey tea, and you are awesome. And also to Christina and every woman there at St. Bridget's of Kildare. You know, it was a Women's Day of Reflection. So that's what's so nice about these get-togethers. It's not just a social gathering, it's a sacred gathering. And it was just a fantastic opportunity. Also, my mom spoke. That was a blessing. And the thing I noticed about these ladies' events is that it really smells good. Everybody's wearing their perfume. And, you know, having a house full of boys, I clean. I don't want to make it sound like our house smells, but there's like a boy, you know, I don't know what it is. But at any rate, everybody looked good, smelled good. It was just a great day. So thank you so much. Coming up on the show today, episode number 46, you know, we've got a great story about love. I had a chance to sit down with my friend who happens to be 103 years old. Her name is Dorothy. And it really was prompted because I was inspired by the story of Justice Antonin Scalia. His funeral service was amazing, the mass, the homily. But also I wanted to know more about his wife Maureen and their 9 children, knowing that his son, Father Paul, said mass for his father at the funeral. And I was inspired by that. So I'll share with you what I learned and was touched by, and also those wonderful words of wisdom from my friend Dorothy about love and family. And also, how is your Lent going? We're entering into week 3 already here. And so I want to do just a quick check-in, see how things are going so far. And to tie into that, a trivia question for you. Do you know what is the official public prayer of the church, of the Catholic Church? Do you know this? If you don't already know, you might be surprised. So we're going to activate our Padre in Your Pocket feature and talk to Father Nathan. He'll answer that question and just share some really neat insight. Also, in exciting anticipation about our Arise retreat and so much more coming up on the program today. So if you join me, let's get started in prayer. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Saint Benedict in his rule writes, always we begin again. Each day we do this, especially during Lent. In the book of Luke, Jesus tells us about the fig tree and says, "And I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future." May we understand the grace of God and allow it to fertilize our lives so that we may bear good fruit in the coming season, especially as we anticipate the garden of grace that will come on Resurrection Sunday when we celebrate Easter. As we pray, our Father, may everything we do begin with your inspiration, continue with your help, and reach perfection under your guidance. With your loving care, guide us daily in our daily actions. Help us to persevere with love and sincerity and patience. Teach us to judge wisely the things of earth and to love the things of heaven. Make your love the foundation of our lives. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
It's Brooks House. It's Brooks House.
Well, come on in. It's Lent. So that means we're doing something called landing time, and that is every night in our house during Lent as a family, try as we might, no matter how busy we are or how many different directions we're going, to just land softly together for 10 minutes and sit in front of the cross and have some family time to pray or do devotions, read a saint story. And so over the weekend, what we did was on Saturday, we sat down and watched the funeral mass for the late Justice Antonin Scalia, and we pulled it up on C-SPAN so anyone can watch it. If you didn't see this already, you can read the transcript, which I highly recommend. But honestly, when I heard about the death of Justice Scalia, I was saddened, like many, many were when I heard about his passing. And I knew about him, the public persona, bits and pieces, maybe some controversies over the year, but really not, you know, more than that. And so, and I knew about his faith, but it really made me curious after I heard about his son. I didn't know his son was a priest. So Father Paul would be the one to say Mass at his father's funeral. So I've really been, because of that, on a search to find out about this beautiful man, obviously his amazing mind, but his powerful faith as well. And I also think it's worth noting, it doesn't matter what faith tradition, what political persuasion you are, this family, I think, is a family worth studying, because the more that I got to learn about his story and his biography, I thought, man, whatever they're doing, I want to do, because to raise the kind of children they have with the kind of family that they have left a legacy of already, it just was inspiring. So just a quick general overview about Antonin Scalia. Most of these things you'll probably know. He was a maverick. He was a champion of the philosophy of something called originalism, which means interpreting the Constitution based on what it originally meant by the people who ratified it, the framers. He was an intellectual giant. We know that. He was also a husband to Maureen, a father of nine. He was Jesuit educated. He went to Harvard then, though, through the old-fashioned, very hard-working way. And I learned that he had actually seriously considered the priesthood as a young man, but then said after a period of discernment that he didn't think that he was being called. So here's just a little snapshot of his family life. Antonin, Nino, and his wife Maureen had nine children, all grown now. They include two very successful lawyers, an army major, not just a specialist, a private, a major, a poet, a writer, a priest. And here's what he had to say about his son, Father Paul.
If in an old-fashioned Catholic family with five sons, you don't get one priest out of it, we're in big trouble, right? I will say that the other four were very happy when Paul announced that he was going to take one for the team. I don't know.
And I would truly love to know more about Maureen Scalia. I know that she is very well educated, just seems like she has a great sense of humor. This woman who raised nine children with her husband, who all, from what I could find, are faithful, amazing, with large families and a devotion to serving of their own. And so I just feel like families like that are truly a good role model for us. And for me as a mom, for me, for my children, when you have nine children that grow up and contribute greatly to society, they're getting it right. You know, when God calls us to be parents, there's an expectation that we have to stand before Him and say, I raised my children. And I know this is the thing that's so hard, is even the best, and oftentimes, many times, the best parents, their children stray, or there are so many prodigals, and it is such a painful challenge. And that's why I think families like this are so fantastically rare and wonderful to kind of look at and to study. And what did they do? What did they do? And it's all God's grace in the end. But if you've not seen the funeral mass of Antonin Scalia, I really do recommend watching it, the homily especially by his son, Father Paul Scalia. And Antonin 56 years, I think. So how does that happen? Well, I wanted to ask a friend of mine about this. And this is an interview from a little while back that I wanted to pull up because it's such a gem. Her name is Dorothy, and she is 103. She's going to be 104 this May. And in her lifetime, she raised 7 children. She was married for 55 years. And I asked her a little bit about love. And this is especially good if you're not married and you're listening. And I think if you are, it's never too late. Great advice from Dorothy. Take a listen.
We're here with Dorothy again. And Dorothy, I wanted to ask you, after being married over 50 years and raising children, what advice would you give to couples who are preparing to get married?
Well, the best thing to do is to discuss everything and decide that you aren't the boss and you should discuss things and instead of being a 50 to 50 marriage, it should be that it's 100 to 100. You just have to not think that you are boss, because you aren't boss, because you got a husband or a wife. And so I think that was one thing that was good with our marriage, because we just never argued for some reason. So.
And God is the boss, right?
Yeah, and God's the boss.
100, 100. I love that we go all the way. We lay ourselves down and sacrifice and pray and give our all for the ones that we love. And when she was talking, it reminded me also of the Love Dare. I don't know if you remember this. It's probably 6, 7, 8 years old now. And I think it came from the movie Fireproof. I'm pretty sure. With Kirk Cameron, which is a little bit low budget, a little bit cheesy, but it has a great message. And I loved the book because for me, it was something that I did and that I can look back now and think, you know, that really blessed our marriage. And my husband and I will have been married 16 years this June. But it's not like our marriage at the time was in trouble or having major problems, but I can see that it changed me when we did it. So I wanted to just share a couple snippets from the Love Dare. If you've never heard of it, it's basically 40 days. So I love that part. And you take those 40 days and every day you do a different dare. It's a challenge that theoretically, it's ideally supposed to be something your spouse doesn't know about, that it's just between you and the Lord and you do this, but it's okay if they do know about it. So these 40 days are laid out that every day is a verse and then there's a dare. So I'll just give you a couple examples. So the Love Dare for number one, for instance, is Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. So the first day, this is your dare. The first part of the dare is fairly simple. Although love is communicated in a number of ways, our words often reflect the condition of our heart. Yes, that is true. For the next day, resolve to demonstrate patience and to say nothing negative to your spouse at all. So you gotta zip it. Bite the tongue. If any temptation arises, choose just not to say anything. It's better to hold your tongue than to say something that you'll regret. And a lot in those first weeks is on this theme. Day number 5, love is not rude. That dare, ask your spouse to tell you 3 things that cause him or her to be uncomfortable or irritated with you. That you almost have to pray ahead of time that you are open to receive that. You must do so without attacking them. They know human nature, don't they, whoever wrote this, or justifying your behavior. And this is from their perspective only. So you have to stop and listen. Okay, Dana, then the next day, love is not irritable. Proverbs 16, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. So the dare, choose today to react to tough circumstances in your marriage in loving ways instead of with irritation. Make a list of areas where you need to add margin to your schedule. Then list any wrong motivations that you need to release from your life. Okay, and then one more. Day 28, love makes sacrifices. 1 John 3:16, he laid down his life for us. We should also lay down our lives for our brothers. So today's dare, what is one of the greatest needs in your spouse's life right now? Is there a need you could lift from their shoulders today by a daring act of sacrifice on your part? A daring act of sacrifice, whether the need is big or small, purpose to do what you can to meet the need. And really, if this is someone in your life that you want to heal a fractured relationship, or it is a spouse, I think so many of these principles can be applied and be a blessing. So there you go. If you want to download that entire Love Dare, you can find it online on a PDF just for free. So if you just punch in the Love Dare PDF on Google, Bing, whatever you use, it'll come up, but you can also buy it too. So in addition to the wonderful advice from Dorothy, the beautiful story of the Scalias, you can also throw in the Love Dare too, and it's not too late for Lent. Great insight and inspiration. Oh, I love that. I could listen to that all day. That's the Te Deum, and it is part of the Divine Office. And earlier in the show, I asked you the trivia question, what is the official public prayer of the Catholic Church? And the answer to that question is not the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Rosary. Both maybe could be, good guess, but it's the Divine Office, the Liturgy of the Hours. That is the official prayer of the Church. And I actually, either I didn't know that or I didn't remember that, but I'm not surprised. And after I heard that, I wanted to make a point to incorporate the Divine Office in my day as best that I could, because knowing how important it is, how far back it stems, and how rich it is, it's all the more reason, and especially as busy as we are now, to get it in. So that was my hope and prayer for this Lenten journey 2016. And the thing that I gave up, kind of the sacrifice that I'm fasting from, which is kind of a little random, but I want to share this with you because I know that I can't be the only one that has gotten into a habit of being on the phone in the car. And as much as I hate to admit it, and it is something I'm ashamed of, it's part of life because it's easy to multitask. And I'll go through phases where I'll read a story or I'll see something on Facebook about an accident and I'll say, okay, I'm not doing it. But it's so easy to slip back in when the phone is ringing and just to pick it up and make a phone call. And the thing I noticed is that when I'm talking on the phone in the car, I'm very productive. I get a lot done. I am able to make appointments or to connect with people that I haven't been able to talk with or to Voxer, whatever the case might be. But my son, my oldest, is going to be 15 this year. And as I was thinking about him taking driver's ed, getting his temps, it really scared me that the model he sees is me on the phone. And I don't text and drive. I don't do that. But the fact that he sees me with the phone and I'm driving, I just thought, I can't do it. I need to stop and put it up. So for Lent, that's what I'm doing. I just put it in my purse, zip it up, put it in the back so I don't have access. And I had to tell my husband, because it's funny how we are so used to getting a hold of everybody. So if we can't get a hold of them, we're like, what's wrong? Where are you? You're not answering. You're rude, or you're sick, or something happened. You're mad. And so I needed to let him know, because for the last 10 years, yes, we've had cell phones, but before that, we never had it. We survived. So I like that I have it in case I do get a flat tire or something, but I'm not using it. And I have to say it's been very, very difficult. But that, I feel, is hopefully a blessing that by the end of the 40 days, that I will be much less quick to pick up the phone and call somebody or to take it out for any reason whatsoever. So that's that, but also the office. So back to the Liturgy of the Hours. For this particular practice, I knew it was something that was going to be an important component of the Arise retreat. And if you've looked at the schedule, if you're going to the retreat, you know that it's built in. This is part of also the vocation of Father Nathan in the Society of St. John. And he is someone that prays 4 hours every day. And even though he's married to the church, he's still so super busy that it's a great example for all of us that hopefully at this retreat, we'll get into the habit of prayer. So I wanted him to just share a little bit about why it's so important. Divine Office 101 as to the beauty of the Liturgy of the Hours and how it works. So here's another installment for you about that of Padre in Your Pocket.
Padre in Your Pocket. On good things, great deal.
Hi everybody, this is Father Nathan with another Padre in Your Pocket. This time, Brooke has asked me to talk to you guys about the Divine Office. I am really happy to be able to do this with you because I think it's really important in that it enables us to have a way to pray without having to have the emotions that usually accompany our prayer. many of us wait to feel like we're close to God before we pray to Him. And with the divine office, you actually have a way of praying so that then you come closer to God. It's almost like your feelings will follow your prayer instead of your prayer following your feelings. So many times we do this. If we're up, we pray, and if we're down, we just withdraw into ourselves and we give up. What the divine office does is it gives you structure. And that's what's so great about it. With when you have the divine office, your day has a backbone to it. It's not just something that flows from whether or not you feel up to it. You actually do it as a sanctification of time. So the divine office, in other words, says just as the sun rises and the sun sets, so too will a Christian pray in the morning, pray in the midday, and pray in the evening. And you say, well, how do I do that? Easy. You take the Psalms. Now, what's neat about this prayer is that when you pray the office, you're praying with the prayer book that God Himself wrote, the Psalms. And those Psalms were the prayers that Jesus prayed, that Mary prayed, that St. Joseph prayed. I mean, you're in pretty good company when you're praying the Psalms. One time, for example, St. Catherine of Siena had a beautiful experience. When she went to pray her office, Jesus appeared and He pulled out His office, and the two of them prayed the office together. I mean, it's kind of a radical thing, right? But the idea is simple. We're entering into something that's bigger than us. Again, bigger than our emotions, bigger than what we feel. It's the prayer of the church as she passes through that same day. It's almost like you jump aboard the church bus. And when you get inside the bus, you find all kinds of monks and nuns and priests and even the Pope praying and singing the Psalms. And you stay on that bus with them and you join them in the prayers until it comes to the stop and you have to get off to go back to your washing your clothes or talking with your children or whatever it might be. Surprisingly, it's a very easy thing to do. A lot of times people are looking for just something that they could do that could fit into their day. My friends, this office will take you between 10 and 12 minutes to do your morning prayer and between 10 and 12 minutes to do your evening prayer. So this is a wonderful practice to get into, for example, I don't know, after dinner, where then you're like, okay, everybody, and where do you get them? Well, you can have your apps. If you're a little bit technologically savvy, you can even attach your iPhone to your television and just bring up the Psalms right there. There's all kinds of great apps. The best one that I recommend is iBreviary. iBreviary, that's iBreviary. That one's got not just the office, but it's got all kinds of great Catholic prayers and traditions in there. There's another great website called divineoffice.org. That was a website. That was also very helpful. So any of those that you get, though, to help you pray the office will transform your life. I wanted to introduce this office to the women on the retreat on purpose because I know that when you leave, I want you to be able to take the retreat with you. So it's having the office is like taking the church into your home and taking your home into the church. It's just marvelous. Everything is written out there for you ahead of time, and you can enter into this prayer that's prayed throughout the church at the same time by everybody. It's the liturgy of time, the liturgy of the passage of that day, and it's just a terrific gift. I recommend it for everyone. If you have questions on how to do it, you can find places online that'll explain it to you, but also why not send a question to Padre in your pocket, and maybe a Padre will come into your pocket and explain it to you. I'll be happy to respond to your questions about this because it's really important. It can revolutionize your prayer life, taking it from your emotions, taking it from your limited knowledge, and expanding it into something that's structured, that's beautiful, that's even inspired by God. I'm happy to just give you a little bit of background also on the divine office, especially for those who might not be Catholic and might wonder, what is this? The background is simple. When our Lord left the earth behind, how were Christians to pray? Obviously, they're rooted in the Jewish tradition, but obviously there's something new that's happened with Christ and the celebration of the Eucharist especially. Well, over time, the prayer that Christians came up with actually is the Liturgy of the Hours. That means that when you pray the Breviary, you're praying in a format that reaches back to the roots in the beginning days of Christianity. It's this format that passages from the Psalms through the New Testament and Old Testament through the gospel canticles and into petitions. It's a terrific grace for the church, and I'm happy to share it with you. God bless you.
Wow, thank you so much. So much to contemplate. Thank you to Father Nathan. And also, a thumbs up to Father Nathan, who recently spoke at the Columbus Women's Conference, the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. It was packed, and just a fantastic event. So just, again, excited that he's going to be at the retreat. And speaking of the retreat.
Rise, shine, the glory of the Lord. Arise, shine. Glory of the Lord is risen.
That is kind of our theme song for the retreat, Hope for the Broken World by Selah, and it's Arise, based on Isaiah 61 through 2. Arise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has dawned upon you. Though darkness covers the earth and thick clouds, the peoples, upon you the Lord will dawn, and over you his glory will be seen. That's our prayer for this retreat. And if you're going, and if you're not, if you've been following it, no matter what, I have some good news for you, and that is we are sold out. The first annual Good Things Radio retreat filled to the brim, thanks be to God, and only by the grace of God. And as we talk about the divine office and the retreat and the significance of spending time in the wilderness with the Lord, one side note also I wanted to mention was that Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament will be available, and we need adorers, those in attendance that for the retreat, to keep that in mind. We need people who will sit, we'll have a sign-up sheet. There's so many details that I almost feel like I need to do a special retreat podcast. But there's also a group that's on Facebook as well that we're introducing each other. And so if you're not going, I promise there is serious consideration about a retreat for next year already. Discussion underway, and I'll keep you posted. But for now, I just ask for your prayers for every woman preparing to attend, for their families, for the speakers, for Father Nathan, for the weather, and for our hearts to be open to God's work within us all as we pray and count down, because we're now like 2 weeks away. Thank you, friends, for another episode together of Good Things Radio, episode number 46. And as we wrap up, let's close in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. All things are changing. God alone is changeless. Patience attains the good. One who has God lacks nothing. God alone fills our needs. That is Saint Teresa of Avila. Thank you again for being a part of Good Things Radio. If you'd be so kind, we humbly ask that you leave a review on iTunes if you like what you hear, and I hope you do. It helps others find the show as well. So many ways you can find us these days. GoodThingsRadio.com. You can also go to Podbean.com. That's where we're hosted. You can become a supporter of the show through the crowdfunding Podbean patron program as well. We're so grateful to each and every one of our loving supporters, and we pray for every day. You can also leave feedback. Feedback at GoodThingsRadio.com. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is a producer who wears many hats, so for any needs, you can find him at cominghomestudio.com. Thank you for being a part of episode number 46 of Good Things Radio. Until next time, friends, God bless you.